item 13A, staff reports.
One thing I wanted to mention is that January 1st is the five-year anniversary of Sisera being an independent employer.
Happy anniversary to us.
Any other staff reports?
Okay. Outside professionals, and so 13C, trustee comments. Are there any trustees that have any comments? Seeing one, John?
The conference that Scott and I, Todd and I attended, the Market Groups Institutional Forum, there was a lot of good information out of that. And the following meeting, following it, we had to end without a description of it. So if the board is willing to bear with 2 or 3 minutes of highlighted points, I think it's probably worthwhile. These are under the segments that were described or set forth in the agenda for the forum. Portfolio construction. High market valuations, signals of a near-term sell-off in a period of low volatility, muted perception of risk, rising inequality, CalPERS, one of the presenters was CalPERS, believes that portfolio will earn 6% using a discounted rate of 7%, but they have hit 7% for the last 2 years. Total funds have to earn 500 basis points over risk-free rate of 2%. That's very real, by the way, to what we have in the way we have structured our barbell portfolio. We have 2% on the liquidity amount, round figures. We've got to earn 5%. We've got to earn 7% on everything else plus an additional amount equivalent to what 5% would be on the liquidity amount. If I didn't say that very well, I think you all recognize it. No sense of increasing inflation and crowding in private equity with not a large expectation of growth. Second, understanding Chinese markets. U.S. and China are engaged in a long-term struggle. There is an investment opportunity in China. Investments to date have not done well in Chinese securities. China now 34% of the Asian emerging market index, and the speaker viewed the investments in China is still positive. Valuations are attractive. Global diversification performance in a late cycle. We're obviously in a late cycle. Greater interest in private equity, interest in farmland, concern that too much money has gone into mid-market lending, private credit, and there is a return compression across all asset classes. Fixed income risks, next topic, have given up on concept that bonds produce a desirable return. Need to think carefully about why we have them. The primary purpose of bonds is as a risk offset to the equity side of the portfolio. Key risk is that today's duration is 6 and yield is 2, a terrible trade-off. Just to clarify, duration means that if rates in that type of bond portfolio go up by 1%, the value goes down by 6%. So when you start talking about the trade-off of 2% yield and a movement of 1% of the value of the portfolio, you're giving up 6% of that value. So it's a big trade-off. And hence, we're not being compensated as speakers for risk. Tim, you get equal time on any of this if you wanted. alternative credit. Basically negative on U.S. direct lending, neutral on European lending, the negative rates are a good part of it, and positive on Asian direct lending. Focus on managerial skills and ability to work out payments. This is all under alternative credit. not a lot of client demand for new strategies. Examples of the strategies that he was talking about, CLOs, reverse mortgages, life insurance policies, container leases, distressed corporate debt, et cetera. So fairly esoteric investments. We certainly have some. Commodities. Why inflation offset and diversify? Why you get commodities? Inflation offset and diversifier. An allocation to gold is liquid. Gold mining stocks are a major way plans own gold. Gold is preferable to a negative yielding government bond. Betty Yee spoke at the lunch and informed us that CalSTRS, she's the state treasurer, by the way, CalSTRS will be fully funded by 2046. So not quite around the corner, but... She seemed very pleased with that. But emerging market equities, new, the last 10 years, not so great, but lots of opportunity. Accounting and transparency are improving, and frequently see growth rates, and by that I believe they mean revenue growth rates for the underlying companies, in excess of 20%. Okay, that's presumably good. Trends in private equity. Make sure focus on identifying companies that can be substantially improved. Look for companies that will be higher value 5 years out. Focus on lower middle market companies. More focus on the exit process, that is, on selling them. Concern that too much money is chasing these assets, generally looking at 10 to 20% IRR. Trends in ESG implementation, which we see lots of. More interest in ESG. Low carbon is now a focus. Improved gun safety is a focus. Require managers to sign a form specifying risk factors. Vote shares in collaboration with other funds. Promote board diversity. Skill set of board members is important. No clear data that supports that ESG firms outperform. So with all the emphasis on ESG, not yet is there any clear data that ESG focus on your portfolio causes you to outperform. I suppose it doesn't indicate either that it underperforms. Green bonds, clean energy, low energy buildings, exclude coal companies, exclude tobacco, pursue auditors to recognize RSG risks. And the CIO roundtable, small tech companies are staying private for a lot longer, should be doing more scenario testing with corrective, I'm reading my own writing here, change allocations, change managers, but sorry. Anyway, that is all stuff we really deal with all the time. Todd, anything that you recall?
No, I think you did a good summation there.
Thank you for bearing up under that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Any other trustee comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.